Before we do anything else, I do want to take a moment and have us pray for David, since he can't be here this morning. And I'm telling you, he tried hard to be here this morning, and he wanted to be here. And so why don't we just lift him up in a word of prayer before we do any of that? But because I had to run to the back, I'm out of breath. Can I get someone who'd be willing to come up here and lead the congregation in a word of prayer, just specifically for David and the Pearl family right now? Well, then I think I just volunteered. Let's pray. Father, we just want to lift up David right now. As he's hurting, you know all the pain he's dealing with all the time. You know all the hard times he's going through with all that. And Father, we just pray that you'll be with him this morning as he can't be with us. Help him to know that we love him. Help him to know that we're here for him. And help him just to get to feeling better. Help that by this afternoon that his body is stronger, that he's feeling good again, and that you'll just work in him. Just give him an incredible, restful, worshipful time at home this morning. And just be with all of us as we're here. Just give us that same incredible, restful, and worshipful time as well. We just pray that you'll be with us. For it's your name we pray. Amen. Okay, I love that last song that we just sang, You Are Holy. And it lists a whole bunch of things about God. Allison, go ahead and run that if you don't mind. But it lists a whole bunch of things about God, right? Did you catch that? You're Emmanuel, you're the great I am, you're the Prince of Peace who is the Lamb, you're the living God, you're my saving grace, you will reign forever, you are Ancient of Days, you're the Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, Savior, Messiah, Redeemer, and Friend, you're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you. God means a lot of things to a lot of people, doesn't he? Up here on the screen we have different worship phrases, and it's just kind of different things. Maybe some of these speak to you, maybe some of them don't. But I want you to think for just a moment about what God means to you. Okay? You thinking? Some of you look like you're thinking, and some of you look like you're going, what? You're thinking something totally different. Are you thinking about what God means to you? If you were to write one of these things up on the screen, what would it say? Just yell it out. Life, love, and then I heard, those are the only two I understood. Life and love. Do what? My everything. Thanks. Light. Rock. Is that what you said? Savior. God is holy, is he not? And God is so worthy of our praise. That's why we sing songs like You Are Holy. That's why we sing songs that talks about You Are Holy, You Are Mighty. You're the Prince of Peace, You're the Almighty God. You are everything to me. And God actually should mean the world to us. And a lot of times we tend to go through our days and we don't spend a lot of time focused on God. We tend to think about him more on Sundays than we do any other day. Who's going to be honest and admit to say, I tend to think about God more on Sundays than I do any other day? Anybody want to be honest enough to admit that? Yeah. Because the truth is, we come to church and we hear about God and we go, oh, yeah, we're focused on God. And when we go through a Monday, we go through a Tuesday, we go through a Wednesday, it's a lot harder to think about God, isn't it? And why is that? The obvious answer would be because you're not at church, right? You aren't hearing someone stand up in front of you talking for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 minutes about God. It's a little bit easier to focus on God when someone does that, right? But it's hard sometimes on a Monday. We were talking in the youth group this morning about how much we hate Mondays. Well, I was talking and they just sat there and stared at me going, it feels like a Monday hearing you gripe about Mondays. You know, I am not a Monday person. I mean, Mondays are great, don't get me wrong. And I'm getting to where the older I get, the more I like Mondays. But do any of you just hate Mondays? It's harder to think about God on a Monday than it is a Sunday, isn't it? It's hard to think about God on a Monday than it is a Friday, isn't it? Why is it that we just do not spend our time thinking about God? And I'll tell you guys what. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians. I want us to look in 1 Thessalonians a little bit this morning. And we're going to be in chapter 2. And I want us to see some things here. And I want us to see how God makes a difference in our life every day and how we can make a difference in other people's lives as well. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Your pages stick together like mine, and I'm trying to do this one-handed so I can hold the mic, and it's not working real well. Now, this is Paul talking. And I think Paul could have written every single one of these. A lot of these worship phrases kind of came out of some of the scriptures that you see in Paul. Some of these are just straight things like, I love you, Lord. Light of the world, that's kind of a scriptural thing there. So many different things, but I want you to think about what God means to you. And I want us to look at this passage here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And I'm actually reading out the New American Standard. It says, you know, brothers, that our visit to you was not a failure. We had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know. But with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God who tests our heart. You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and our hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. All right, I want to stop here for just a minute. I want us to look at this passage, and I want to talk about just what it takes to serve God, what it takes to make a difference for God in this world. Because if I were to ask you, I would just say, who here wants to make a difference for God? That's one of those easy questions you can ask people. Everyone goes, amen. Everyone goes, yeah, that's me. Yeah. We were actually looking in Sunday school this morning in Mark chapter 13. Anyway, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asks the disciples to keep praying. This is the night that Jesus is going to be arrested, right before he's arrested. You remember what the disciples did? They did what some of you guys are doing. They're kind of doing that. You know, it seems like prayer time and sermon time is a great time to catch up on naps. I'm just telling you. You know, that's why a lot of people's favorite part is, you know, at the end of the sermon where you go, okay, let's pray. They're already in position. They've been, you know, they've been there the whole time. We were looking at this passage, and Jesus tells him, he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And I think that hits a lot of us where we are. We want to serve God. We know we need to do the right thing. We know that God wants to use us, and we want to be used by God. But we find that we're not. We find that we're not used by God. We find that we don't spend our lives focused on God the way we should. A Monday rolls around, and it's Monday night, and we look back, and we go, you know, I don't think I prayed once today. I know I didn't read my Bible. Oh, heaven forbid we have to read our Bible on a Monday. But we find ourselves wanting to serve God. We find ourselves falling short time after time after time. And then that applies to many of us in here. You may be one of those people right now. This sermon is for you because I want you to see this. And I want you to see what you see here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And Paul and the apostles here, they started with the right motivation. That's what it all started off. Look in verse 4, okay? It says, we are not trying to please men, but we're trying to please God who tests our hearts. Realize who they were working to please? It was God. Their motivation wasn't anything but God. I'm not going to ask this question. I don't want you to answer this question because, in truth, I don't want to know the answer. But how many of you come to church because you feel like you're supposed to come to church? Allison every week says, you have to go. Get up. You see Domin over there. Domin's going, me, I come to church because mom and dad make me. Let's be honest. Does sometimes church feel more like a responsibility than a joy? Sometimes it feels that way, doesn't it? Sometimes doing the right thing feels like something you just have to grit your teeth and do. It doesn't even have to be about going to church. But you ever catch yourself wanting to do the wrong thing and you're like, I know I've got to do the right thing and I've just, ugh. And you do it with the wrong attitude? You ever have that happen? Yeah. These guys are starting with the right motivation. They said, we are living our lives to please God who tests our hearts. Sometimes it's easy to deceive people when it comes to motivation, isn't it? Sometimes it's easy to make people think you feel a certain way when you really don't. They said, we are working to please God who tests our hearts, because the heart is something that can't lie. And here's Paul, here are the other apostles, and they're trying to say, listen, we are working for God who knows the truth. He knows we're doing it for him. We're not trying to please other people. We're not just doing this out of a sense of responsibility, but we're doing this Because we love God. And sometimes when we struggle to do the things that God wants to do, sometimes it's just a matter of falling in love with Jesus all over again. That's got to be where it starts. I've been married for, how long have I been married? 16 years now? I had to think for a minute. I've been married for 16 years, and I don't cheat on my wife. You know why I don't cheat on my wife? Because I love my wife. I'm not supposed to cheat on my wife, but I know it would hurt her if I cheated on her, right? Are you with me on all that? If I thought it was okay to cheat on my wife and I wanted to, I would. But I don't want to cheat on my wife because I love my wife. That's the motivation. You don't do it just because you're supposed to do it, but you do it because you're so in love with Jesus, you can't help but do it. Sometimes that's what we need to start with. Sometimes we catch ourselves just going through the motions or not really making a difference in life. And you know why that is? Because we're not in love with Jesus anymore. It's not that we don't mean to be. It's that we've just kind of drifted away. And sometimes we just need to get lost in God again and just have that moment where we just feel the Holy Spirit washing all over us. We get so caught up in God's love, we can't help but just love him back. And that was their motivation. They said, man, we are working to please God because we love him. We're working to please God, not other people, because it's not about our responsibility, but it's about God working in us and then God working through us. And you see how God actually worked through them. Go down to verse 2 with me. And here's the interesting part. Paul, he let God use his story. He let God use what he was going through to touch other people's lives. Look at this in verse 2, okay? He said, we had previously suffered and been insulted in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in spite of strong opposition. Here's the interesting part about this for me. Paul is telling the people about Jesus, right? And he's telling them, we dared to tell the people in Philippi about God, even though we had just been through this hard time. Paul is now using the hard time he went through to encourage the people in Thessalonica to stay true to God. Here's the thing that I want you guys to realize. If you want to be used by God, you have to let God use your story, both the good parts and the bad parts. Because God uses every bit of everything you go through to touch lives. Let God use your story, the good parts, the bad parts, it doesn't matter. God can use it to point people to him. A lot of times we think, you know, oh, God's got to use the good parts. Yeah, well, God wants to use the bad parts as well. And here's Paul saying, man, we struggled. It was hard. We had this opposition. We struggled. You heard about everything we went through. Evidently, it was so bad that the people in Thessalonica heard about what they went through in Philippi. And he says, listen, we use that to tell people about God, even in the midst of it. And even when it was hard, we told people. A lot of times we think that God has to use the good things in our life, or we have to have everything all together in order for God to use us, right? We tend to think that everything's got to be great and God has to do great things or God's not really working. We tend to see God in the good times, but we don't see him so much in the bad times. And sometimes here is God saying, listen, I want you to use your bad times and use that to tell other people. You know where I saw this the most when I was a teenager? I was a child of the 80s, and when I grew up in the 80s, the thing to do was you'd have all these people stand up in church and they would give their testimony, and almost every single one of them was about the same. Oh, I was stuck on drugs, and I had cheated on my wife, and she left me, and I got even more into drugs, and I found myself homeless on the street. But then God found me, and my life has been changed. I never once heard someone stand up there and give a testimony. Yeah, I accepted Christ when I was 7 years old, and I've always been faithful to him. The end. You don't hear that very often, right? Why is that? Because it's not as exciting. We tend to look for God in the big things. We tend to look for God in the great things. We go, oh, that's God. And we miss him sometimes in the smallest things. Someone that's been faithful to God since they were 7 years old, praise God. That's awesome. That's incredible. Someone that was stuck on drugs and turned their life around and God worked in their life, that's incredible too. Both of those salvations are just equally incredible. And one of them's bad, one of them's good, and God can use both of them to touch lives. Let God use your story to touch lives. Let God use the way he works in you to inspire other people. And you know what that means? You kind of have to tell people your story. That's the not fun part, right? You know, we like to go, oh, God worked in my life. But then you're responsible for sharing that story. You're responsible for telling people. And that's the part that's not quite as much fun. But you know, I want you to picture this for a minute, okay? You start with the right motivation, and that's pleasing God. You let God use your story, whether it's good, whether it's bad. You just let God work, And then I want you to realize that God will work in your life and he makes a difference in people when you speak grace with your words. Speak grace with your words. Look all the way down in verse 5 here. It says, you know, we never used flattery. I like that. He said, you know, we never really buttered you up. We weren't coming and just using flattery to get at you. You know, I have a twin brother, and, you know, I've had him my whole life. We've been together our whole lives. I can always tell when he wants something. You know why? He'd be like, oh, Dave, man, I think it's great how you did, you know. He's always buttering you up. All right, kids, how many times have you learned to do that with your parents? You go, Mom, Dad, you are just the greatest parents in the world. Can I have 20 bucks? You go forward and go, you know, I wrote a letter to my parents when I was a freshman in college. I'd broken a window in my dorm room. I threw a shoe and it broke the window. It's a long story. But you know what I did? I decided I was going to make this to be funny. I had to pay 50 bucks that I didn't have to replace the window because, you know, you're in college and you're broke. And so I wrote this whole letter to my parents and I said, Mom and Dad, I'm dropping out of college. I met a woman here at the Air Force Base and she's 40 years old and has a couple of kids, but we just love each other. I met her at the bar, you know, and she was buying me beer. It's just the greatest thing in the world. And we're going to be moving she's about to be transferred. She's here at the Air Force Base in Abilene. She's about to be transferred to Washington. And so I probably won't see you anymore, but just know that I love you. And then at the end of that, I said, I'm just kidding. I just need 50 bucks for a broken window, right? Here's Paul, and he's saying, listen, we didn't butter you up. We didn't use flattery. We just spoke grace with our words. He goes on there. He says, we didn't use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up our greed. God is our witness. They spoke grace with their words. What is it about the way you treat people that says about you? This is all about the way that you treat people. And if God's not using you, sometimes it's because we maybe are not treating people the way we should. We're not speaking grace with our words because when we treat people in the right way, we show them the grace of God. We show them the love of God. We're not putting on airs for them. We're just being real to them. We're not trying to flatter them. We're just trying to show them how great God is. God can use that. But this is all about how you treat people. And what does how you treat people say about you? In truth, this is true. I one time had a pastor say this to me, and I've seen it true in my life. He said, you can tell a lot about somebody by the way they treat their waiter or waitress at Chili's or something like that. I thought, ooh, that's kind of interesting. So I started watching the way people would treat their waiter or their waitress or anything like that. You can learn a lot about people from watching the way they treat service roles like that, if you want to consider it that. I think there's nothing wrong with working at Chili's. I think it'd be great. I would love to do that. I could just nibble on people's plates as I take it over there and that would be bad, but man, I wouldn't be able to resist. I couldn't. But you could tell a lot about somebody from the way they treat them. And here's Paul saying, listen, we treated you with respect. We weren't dishonest with you. We didn't try and present ourselves as something really great. We were just honest with you, and it wasn't about us. It was never about us. The way you treat people says a lot. And if you truly want God to use you, let people see the grace of God in you. To every single person you meet, let them see the grace of God shining through you. And part of that is you actually are showing humility with your attitude, right? Part of that is showing that humility that you actually see him talk about in verse 6 and 7. So let's read that. He says, we were not looking for praise for men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you like a mother caring for her little children. This is this idea of like a mom who's caring for her little children. And he says, that's kind of the way we were. We weren't. We could have just said, oh, look at us. We're apostles. You should be taking care of us. You should be watching out for us. You should be going, hanging on every word we say because we're an apostle. You know, people like that, they think they're so important that everything they say needs to hinge on you. If you're married, you know, I saw a husband pointing at his wife, and he was doing it in a joking way, but that's right. Yes, you need to feel that way about your spouse, right? Everything Allison says, yes. I love you, honey. I do. He says, man, we could have been a burden to you. We could have said, hey, we're an apostle. We're somebody that you should see as this important person. But in truth, we didn't see ourselves that way. That humility with our attitude goes a long ways. That humility in the way that we treat other people, that humility in the way we see ourselves, the way we portray ourselves goes a long way. And when we focus on God, when we focus on who God is to us, and we realize it's not about us, it's not about anything we do, but it's all about Him, that humility speaks miles. That humility speaks a long ways. And when we focus on God, focus on the things that God wants us to do, we kind of find ourselves just kind of fading away in the background. So the question is this, I mean, how do you come across to people? Are you coming across as someone who just loves God? Are you coming across as someone who just thinks more of themselves than they should? Are you coming across as someone who thinks that because you're saved, you're better than everybody else? Are you coming across as someone who says, everybody needs the grace of God, me just as much as everyone else? Sometimes when we don't feel God working in our lives, or it's hard to get up on a Monday and tell somebody about Jesus, it's sometimes, let's be honest, how many times do we just kind of feel like, well, I'm saved and they're not, and that's okay? I remember when, anybody remember the serial killer Ted Bundy? Remember that guy? You know what that guy did on death row? He accepted Christ. Are you kidding me? Come on, the guy would eat people. I mean, literally. And he accepts Christ, and he's going to be in heaven just like I am. Really? Is that really? I mean, I remember when that happened, and I was thinking, you've got to be kidding me. I deserve heaven. He doesn't. We kind of have that attitude sometimes, right? We kind of feel like, man, that guy shouldn't be coming to Jesus. Look at all the horrible stuff he did. But the truth is, he deserves Jesus' love just as much as you and I do. Max Lucado wrote a book one time. He described it as being able to jump high, all right? Now, I'm not a real high jumper. Any of you guys able to jump really high? Everyone's going, no, except for one person. She's going, I can jump high. Okay. Has anybody ever been able to dunk a basketball in here? All right. Has anyone ever tried to dunk a basketball in here? All right. How many of us have ever tried and failed, you know? Yeah. I cannot dunk a basketball. I mean, I always felt tall when I could jump up and touch the rim, you know, and I'm like, yes, I got that, touch the rim, you know. I could never dunk a basketball. But you've got a guy who can dunk a basketball. Maybe his vertical is 36 inches or something. You've got a guy who can jump up and he can slam the thing in there. That's impressive when you compare me to him. And I'm going, you know, it looks kind of impressive, right? But instead of trying to dunk a basketball, let's pretend that we were trying to jump up and touch the moon. Would it be as impressive of a distance that way? Oh, it's impressive when you see someone who can dunk a basketball and someone who can't. You go, oh, that's kind of impressive. But let's say your goal is to touch the moon. The fact that he can get a foot off of the ground higher than I can, is it really that impressive? That's what the grace of God is like. The distance that we have to cross is way too far. None of us could do it. And Jesus paid the price for us, for you and for me. And his grace covers us. In his grace, it's kind of like being able to jump up and touch the moon. Let's say I can jump 2 feet off of the ground. You can jump 3 feet off of the ground. Is it really worth bragging about that other foot when you're talking thousands of miles? That's the image of the grace of God. And when someone like a serial killer accepts Christ, you know what? He's just as worthy of that as I am, because it's like jumping up and touching the moon. And sometimes we lose sight of that. We lose sight of the fact that God loves every single person, and we have got to leak out his love wherever we go. Look at this in verse 7 and in verse 8. He talks about how we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her child, for her little children. I got to find verse 7. But we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. The truth is, when we start leaking out love wherever we go, and people see the love that we have for people, we're going to make a difference. Lodge Street Baptist Church will make a difference when people see the love that leaks out of us, when they see the love of God everywhere we go, when people see it in your life, and everywhere you go, they can see a little bit of God's love there. I had a car that leaked oil really bad one time. You know, you could always tell where that car had been parked because there's a little puddle of oil right there. You know, there was one guy who was here at the church a while ago. He's passed away now, and his car leaked oil really bad. I still to this day can go out in the parking lot and pick his spot, because there's a big old pile of oil that's been there for about, well, he passed away probably 8 years ago now, and I know exactly where he parked every week. He had his spot. You know, you could tell it. Wherever he parked, that there was a little bit of oil there. As funny as it sounds, that car leaking oil should represent our lives. Everywhere we go, there should be a little more love left. Everywhere we go, the love of Christ should be there at least a little bit more than it was. We need to leak out love wherever we are. And that's what Paul's saying. He's saying, we loved you. We were there. Look at verse 8 one more time. I want to read it one more time. He says, we loved you so much and we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of Christ, but our lives because you had become so dear to us. He says, we leaked out love to you. People could see the love of God through us. You know why? Because you mattered to us. Because you weren't just faceless people. You were somebody who mattered. And when that little bit of love leaks out, it remains. It stays behind. And you can see the proof of it later on. I hope that you guys realize that Paul is saying everywhere you go, you need to leak out a little bit of love. Leak out a little bit of the love of Christ. And so the question is this. Do people see that love in your life? When you leave a room, do people feel like it was a little brighter with you in it? Do they feel like it was a more loving place with you in it? Or do you leave the room and they go, praise God, he's gone? Sometimes you'll get that just because people don't like you. You know, you can still love people who don't like you. Jesus was proof of that. Even when he was hanging on the cross, he prays, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But the difference that God can make through us when we just show the love of Christ is a long ways. When we focus on the things of God, when we focus on what God is to us, it makes a difference. And I promise you this, it makes a difference in the lives of the people that you come in contact with, even on a Monday, even on a Tuesday, even on a Wednesday. It's not about Sunday, it's about God working in your life every single week. The thing is, you can impress people before they know you, right? People can be impressed by you, but you can only influence them up close. And God is calling for people to influence people into the kingdom of God. He's not calling for us to do these big, incredible, impressive things. He's just saying, just love people, and that makes a difference. So the question is, when people get close to you, what do they see? That's the question. Actually, a better question is, when people get close to you, who do they see? Do they see you or do they see God? And if we're honest, a lot of times we'll say we're just kind of going through the motions. And you know what happens when we do that? People don't see God, they see us. And it's hard and it's difficult and sometimes it's hard to get out of. But if we'll focus on this the way Paul did, start with the right motivation. It's about pleasing God, it's not about pleasing other people. Let God speak grace through your words. Watch the way you treat other people. Leak out love everywhere you go, and you'll find that God can use you for his kingdom. And that's a neat thought. And I'll be the first to say, I'm not worthy of God using me, but I hope he does. And I think that's the way a lot of us feel. We don't have to feel worthy to be used by God. You don't have to feel worthy of it for God to use you. All you have to do is focus on God. Focus on what God is to you. And as you go through your week, you'll be surprised at how God will use that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you work in our lives in so many ways. We thank you that you use us for your kingdom. I don't understand why. I don't understand how. But you love us and you want to use us to reach Carlsbad. You want to use us to reach New Mexico. You want to use us to be a light for you to a world that desperately needs it, Father. And in truth, help us just to focus on you and let everything else flow out of that. If we'll just focus on you, everything will be okay, Father. We pray that as we go throughout this week, that you will be the thing we're focused on. That you'll be everything to us. That you'll let us leak love to a world that so desperately needs it. Just work in us and work through us. For your name we pray. Amen.